Episode 279 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? I had to remind myself this is 279 because I mixed up the numbers last week, and fortunately the team at All Things Comedy caught it and corrected it, but now I think I got it. So, like I talked about last week, the news cycle is just so much. I do my best. I don't know if I can keep up. Oh, by the way, you might hear some background noise. It's funny. So again, followers know that I work on this technology. I've kind of set up a little a room in my house. It's kind of the Zoom room where I record stuff. And I put some sound deadening foam on the walls. But right now I have the windows open. So I think that kind of defeats the purpose. So if you hear a little nature, a few birds and whatnot, well, that's just the background noise. So thanks for that. Rayshard Brooks this weekend was killed in Atlanta, and that is it's partly interesting because I was supposed to be in Atlanta this weekend. I was supposed to be at the Punchline in Atlanta, and it got pushed to next month, so I'm still waiting to do my first live club show. But anyway, this happened in Atlanta. You probably saw the video by now. The story is that he fell asleep in the drive-through line at a Wendy's. They suspected him of being drunk. The cops came to arrest him for being drunk. He fought off the cops, apparently grabbed a taser from one of the cops, was running from him, turned around, pointed the taser. Didn't turn around. Actually, from the video, he just pointed the taser behind him, and the cops shot him. And, of course, they shot him in the back. He was running away. The mayor fired the cops. The police chief quit. The Wendy's was burned down. Interesting thing about that, there's another video. I mean, we're getting everything on video now, right? Because everybody has a camera at all times. And it showed a white woman trying to start a fire in the dumpster by the Wendy's. So I don't know who set the fire, but, you know, this whole thing of the black people doing it, it's been shown over and over on video, not always black people doing it. So what's going to happen? Well, who knows, right? But it's probably, I mean, they're already showing these police unions defending him, and because he took the taser from them, it's probably going to be justified. The cops will be let off for it, you know. It's too bad real cops aren't like movie cops, right? In the movies, when someone runs from the cops never get tired. Like, they always catch him. They're cardio masters who can run indefinitely. Wouldn't that help in real life if maybe some of them got in shape? But, so that was this weekend. Also, closer to home for me, in Victorville and Palmdale, these are two towns in the high desert. Palmdale, about 70 miles north of LA. Victorville, another 30 miles east of that. There are black men hanging from trees. There were two black men hung. They claim both to be suicides. One was homeless. Very suspicious. Very suspicious. In this time of Black Lives Matter protests and racists being emboldened by Donald Trump, for two black men to be hung, just, it's suspicious. Also, these are two towns where there is no shortage of racism. Palmdale is one of those communities that a lot of white people, there was a lot of white flight to Palmdale. And I remember this specifically because this took place in the 80s when I was in the aerospace. And there are some big aerospace companies out there, Northrop and Lockheed. And I think Rockwell also had a plant out there. And they built all these new homes. And the idea was you move out there and you're going to work in aerospace. Well, the aerospace industry went away. There were a lot of empty homes out there. And a lot of those empty homes became Section 8 housing, where they moved black people. I know I'm all over the place, but just a lot of things happen and they intertwine. So Jimmy O. Yang was on the Joe Rogan podcast, and Jimmy was talking about doing an urban show, and they were talking about that code that they use, you know, urban, inner city, whatever, anything. They'll say anything except a black show. That's what they were laughing about. And this is what happened in Palmdale. A lot of those inner city urbans were moved out to Palmdale with the Section 8 housing, and a lot of white people who, not all, not saying everyone white person out in Palmdale's racist or anything like that, but a lot of them were really upset by all these black and brown people moving into their neighborhood where they moved out there to get away from. So that's why I think it's suspicious, because I know there's a population of white racists in both of these towns, and a black man hanging from a tree. I mean, what? A black man's going to hang himself from a tree across the street from City Hall? Sounds shaky. As you know, the orange idiot, the baby in charge, little Trumpy, was going to have his first, let's call it rally, because that's what he calls it, in Tulsa on June 19th, known as Juneteenth, and I'll explain that in a minute. But it was a horrible idea, and again, this is where the racism, it's beyond dog whistle, okay? So Juneteenth, a lot of people don't understand what Juneteenth is. Juneteenth, and I'll just read you this so you know. On June 19th, 1865, about 2 months after the Confederates surrendered, Robert E. Lee surrendered in Virginia, the Union General Gordon Granger arrived in Galveston, Texas to inform enslaved African Americans of their freedom, tell them the Civil War had ended, and his announcement put into effect the Emancipation Proclamation, okay, which had been issued earlier, but, you know, that's the whole Civil War. So June 19th has become a Black Independence Day, celebrating the announcement of the end of slavery. So it's a very significant day. And the idea that Trump was going to hold a rally on this day in Tulsa. Now, Tulsa, as this story's only been coming out recently, but it's in 1921, one of the worst massacres ever happened in Tulsa. There was a Black Wall Street in Tulsa. There was a Black financial community doing quite well and growing. And of course, a lot of white people resented it. And ultimately, they burned it down. They don't know how many people were killed because they just tossed the Black people into mass graves. It was hundreds of Black people killed. If you saw the show on HBO, The Watchmen, which is a fictional show, but it started with that. So the idea that Trump would hold one of his racist rallies on Juneteenth in the city of one of the worst massacres of Black people in the United States in history, again, beyond dog whistle, unreal that he would do it, and yet not unreal, not unexpected. Well, I don't know if somebody got out the crayons and explained it to him, or if they just, you know, the whole thing was just for the publicity stunt or whatever. But for whatever reason, he's moving it to the next day, to June 20th, still in Tulsa. There were going to be massive protests, which, you know, he loves and hates at the same time. So that was that. Speaking of the baby, June 14th, yesterday, was Obama Day. And if you weren't aware of this, believe me, Trump was aware of this. It was Trump's birthday. So what the internet decided to do was call it Obama Day, make Barack Obama trend on Twitter, put up a bunch of pictures of Barack Obama. It worked. He was trending. And you know that Trump knew about it. You know he was seething. Wherever he was, he was seething, seeing these pictures of Barack Obama and a Barack Obama trending on Twitter, because, you know, Twitter is his only news source, the only thing he can read, right? 140 characters fits with him. I know it's more than that now, but you understand what I'm saying? He had to know about it, and that's a beautiful thing. So I'm happy to hear that. Moving on, and sticking with the Confederacy, NASCAR is banning Confederate flags. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, is huge. NASCAR is doing away with Confederate flags. They will no longer be welcome at their racing venues. One of their drivers, Ray, whatever the hell, he said he's quitting NASCAR. He's never won a race. He's 0-33, and people are just, it's when Twitter is great, because people are just basically saying, well, you and I have the same number of NASCAR wins. And another tweet was like NASCAR saying, who are you? And, you know, LeBron James tweeting that NASCAR doesn't care. But anyway, and of course, then the guy became apologetic and said, they're attacking my family. I didn't mean anything by defending the Confederate flag. Yes, you did. But the flags, the Confederate flags are going away from NASCAR. They're going away from naval bases, which they should have been gone a long time ago. They're going away from Marine bases, once again, should have been gone a long time ago. And now, and this is, you know, I didn't even realize how many of these, but there is a movement to change the names of these big army bases that were named after Confederates. I didn't even realize that bases like Benning and Hood were named after Confederates. I mean, that's ridiculous. Fort Lee, Fort Bragg, some of these are big bases named after Confederates, and people are like, well, why are they still named after Confederates? You wouldn't name a Fort Bin Laden, you know, or anything like that. You named them after, okay, listen, it's time for the South to, and I know this is painful, and I hate to be the one to tell you, you lost. Yeah, the Civil War, the War of Northern Aggression, as you like to call it, yeah, you lost, okay? Just stop it. Stop it. They're traitors. They fought against the United States of America. You know, there is such a... the feigned ignorance. I've talked about this before, and it always bothers me. They always pretend they don't know. This is something that the Republican Party does when they send out those mailers and they send that information. Well, you know, the Democrats liked slavery and it was a Republican that freed the slaves and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah. Lincoln was a Republican, and back then the Democrats were the party of the South. But everybody knows, and everybody who says this knows, that the parties have switched, the identities have switched. So the Republican Party of today, which claims to be the party, America, some bitch, I ain't wearing no mask because I'm free here in America. Don't have to wear no some bitch mask. And I can go to the barbershop and I got my rifle that I'm going to take to the Capitol to show that I can get my hair done and my nails clipped. Not that they do, the men anyway, but you've seen them in flip-flops. Really? Really? How about a pedicure? If the places are open, please go groom your hoof. Anyway, claim all this America, claim all this freedom, yet they support the Confederates, and that was the most traitorous war ever. That was the war that they attempted to break up the country. The United States of America wouldn't be the United States of America. But guess what? You lost. Stop it. Let it go. Take down the statues. All right, take down the flags. Stop pretending it was anything other than it was. It was a treasonous attempt to maintain slavery. It was a treasonous attempt to break up this country to maintain slavery. So if you want to wave your Confederate flag, stop pretending it's anything else but a sign that you're a racist. Own your racism. Stop being fucking cowards. You're a racist, be a racist. One of the fun videos I saw on Twitter, I liked the quick one. Some racist asshole contractor and an idiot pulls up to a black family's house with a Confederate flag thing in his back window to work on the house. And the woman, the one lady of the house, just opened the door and said, "Turn around, we are not doing business with you." And that was it. That just, yeah. They hit them financially. Let's hit racists financially more often, somewhere where they feel it. Not that I can imagine where I live, some guy pulling up with a Confederate flag in the back of his truck saying, "I'm here to fix the plumbing," or whatever. But if someone's that dumb, screw them. Get rid of them. Speaking of someone that dumb and racism, and, you know, you really can't live a week without Karen being at it again. So Lisa Alexander had to apologize to James Juanillo. Okay, when Lisa has to apologize to a man named Juanillo, I think we know what's going on. Lisa, aka Karen, was telling a man in San Francisco that he couldn't stencil Black Lives Matter on his wall. And he had Black Lives Matter in the windows. And she brought her own camera person. She brought her husband. He was her cameraman. He stood 10 feet back to get the wide shot. Karen was all in on this. "You can't paint that there." Telling him that, you know, "You don't live there. You can't. It's private property. She knows the man who lives there." Blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? He owned the house. Not only did he own the house, he's lived there a long time. He has lived there so long that when Karen did call the cops and the cops showed up, the cops knew him. They were like, "Oh yeah, he lives there. It's his house." So now Karen, she's not fired because she's the CEO of her company. Probably the only reason she wasn't fired. I love when they get fired. I think it's the best corporate statement. You know, corporations are putting up Black Lives Matter signs, but there's no better commitment to Black Lives Matter than firing a racist employee. But anyway, she can't get fired. So she says, "When I watched the video, I am shocked and sad that I behaved the way I did." What the hell? Like you didn't know you were behaving that way? Like you didn't know you were challenging this man? No. What you didn't know, and what your racism shows, is because the man is named Juanillo, and he is a brown man, I believe, of Filipino descent, you didn't think he could possibly own a home in San Francisco. San Francisco's gentrified beyond belief. You're some rich CEO of some company, and you couldn't believe a brown man owned a house in your neighborhood. Well, guess what, Karen? They owned houses in your neighborhood before you owned a house in your neighborhood. So she's apologizing. Now, this is the part I personally have a problem with. Juanillo said what she did is polite racism, it's respectable racism. And he will, you know, accept her apology and talk to her. And I don't think that we should make these racists comfortable. I don't think we shouldn't just say, "Yeah, it's okay. It's okay." Because then why would they stop? Why would they stop? If you can do this and just issue a bullshit apology and there's no penalty, you think she's going to stop? You think she's not going to challenge other black or brown people walking around in her neighborhood with her cameraman behind her? No, Mr. Juanillo, I respect you. It's your opinion. It's your choice. It is your home. But I wouldn't take Karen's apology on this. I tell Karen, go to your meeting, whatever the hell. Talk to them. Speaking of this, calling the cops. I have a big problem with defund the police. Not the idea, the slogan. Because it's almost like this was written for the Republicans and the right wing to use. Defund the police. What scared white people here is get rid of the police department. Nothing would scare them more than the idea of getting rid of the police department. Who the hell would Karen call if there's no police? That would be like a Walmart without a manager. Or Nordstrom's without a manager. Depends on how much money Karen has. I think Becky's more Walmart and Karen's more Nordstrom. I think. I don't know. But anyway, defund the police. So let's be clear. It doesn't mean get rid of police departments. It doesn't mean shut down police departments. It means take away some of the money from these police departments that have unbelievably big budgets and use that money in the community. Use it for community centers, use it for education. Somebody in Brooklyn was talking about bring back the police athletic league. A lot of people don't know this. They had this when I was growing up. The police athletic league was like a little league for kids. And you want to talk about a different type of policing. Imagine police running leagues where kids can play basketball or baseball or you know, boxing. They used to support Golden Gloves and stuff like that. Put money into stuff like that rather than more and more militarization. There's a video out, a man in South Carolina, and they're talking about this video basically in Know Your Rights. And you can find it on Twitter or just Google Know Your Rights. It's an open carry state. Black man had a gun. He was in a county park. Somebody called the cops. 8 police showed up. They were wearing their military gear. You wouldn't have thought they were police. You'd have thought they were soldiers. They had on camouflage and, you know, bulletproof vests and the whole their helmets, the whole thing, right? Why do police departments have camouflage? Why do police departments have camouflage? Again, this is where defund the police. Stop wasting that money. Spend that money on basketballs. Just saying. Anyway, they roll up on this man. The one cop has his hand on his gun. Now, this man is recording this, and he's like, why are you stopping me? And they're like, you know, you have a weapon. And he's like, this is public. They're like, it's not. And he's like, yes, it is. Now, this man knew the law. He knew that because he was in a county park and in a parking lot that it was public land. He knew he had the right to carry a gun. He knew he didn't have to give the police his name, but he could ask them and they had to give him their name. But he also talked about this one of the cops, one of the 8 cops, he had his hand on his gun and he unsnapped, you know, they have that little safety strap on the holster over the gun. He'd unsnapped it. He's like, why are you doing that? Why are you, you're threatening me by putting your hand on the gun. And then another cop who was the supervisor said, you know, it seems abnormal for you to be out here with a gun. He's like, why is it abnormal? I have a right to be here. And the cop said, well, we can't do anything. So the cops left. And a lot of people are saying, that's great. Know your rights. I think it's great. He did that. He kept calm. But I think so many things worked in that. The big one being that the supervisor was there and the supervisor was reasonable. That other cop, the one who had his hand on a gun, he'd have shot him. Black people and the Second Amendment is a tough one. We have the right to carry guns. We have the right to open carry in open carry cities, but it's an excuse to kill us. Tamir Rice was a 12-year-old kid with a toy gun. The cop got out of the car and shot him. So be careful. A professor once told me, never argue your civil rights on the corner with a cop. I'm going to talk about more about that in a minute, but that's good advice. But anyway, getting back to this defund the police, it's simply a matter of the Democrats can't come up with good slogans. The Republicans, again, they know their audience. They know their audience is simple-minded, short attention span, and they come up with these quick slogans, and they work. You know, make America great again means nothing. There's no meaning to that. What does that mean? Nothing. When they use words like liberty, they're taking away your liberty. They're taking away your freedoms. It means nothing. It can't be measured, but it works. Defund the police. What they hear is shut down the police department, do away, and they're scared. They're too scared. So that's a bad slogan. It's a good idea. Get some writers. Call the advertising. Somebody call marketing. Come on. As liberal as Brooklyn is, there's no marketing guy in the Silicon Valley. There's nobody who can come up with a better slogan. I don't believe that. You invented Google, for God's sake. I read a great article. Jalopnik is a car lover's online, well, I guess it's a magazine, news, whatever you want to call it. It's about cars and driving, and you know, you guys know how much I love all that. And a guy wrote a piece about the case for ending traffic stops. Traffic stops are a bad idea. Traffic stops are used to raise money. You know, the little towns that have speed traps, and traffic stops are used as a vague way for cops to search you, to check you. You know, you had a taillight out, you were speeding, you rolled through a stop sign. Then they pull you over. It's at that tense moment. This is when a lot of cops walk up. A lot of cops are scared to do it. A lot of police are scared. They say it's a very dangerous thing when they're walking up because they don't know who's in that car or what's in that car. And, you know, they pulled him over because he was black, but they weren't sure if he was one of the good blacks or one of the bad blacks. It was a dangerous moment. I was scared. So the writer of this article, Raphael Orlov, talked about traffic stops don't keep us safe, okay, because they don't prevent speeding. A police car parked on the side of the highway prevents speeding more than a traffic cop. Police have done this. Leave a decoy car next to the highway. People see it and slow down. We've all done that. When you see that police car on the side of the road, you slow down. So if it was about preventing speeding, they could just do that. Tens of thousands of people are killed on the roads, you know, hit by cars, car accidents, etc. Traffic stops don't do anything to change that. They definitely make money. So, Department of Justice investigation revealed that in 2013, police in Ferguson, Missouri, issued arrest warrants for 9,000 people, almost all of those for municipal code violations such as failure to pay a fine or missing a court appearance. The city collected $2.4 million in fines and fees. So what are they doing? They're writing tickets. You don't show up. They turn it to a warrant. They collect more money. That's part of the game. A lot of, and we know what happened in Ferguson, but a lot of small towns do it. So he's saying, why don't we just do away with traffic stops? Now, I get it, and I think that's a good idea. But again, this is where we get into good police, real police versus bad police. So a real cop, or like here in California, they have the highway patrol. The highway patrol, you remember Chips? You watched the show. Watch the movie. The movie Chips was actually hilarious. But anyway, that's what they do. They write tickets. They patrol the freeways, the highways. They write tickets. Most of them do a good job, and that's what they do. And you're aware of it. You see them. You slow down. That's okay. The traffic stops on the street, and again, this is where the bad cops come in. When they use it because you're black on the wrong highway in the wrong town. I mean, in the 80s, oh my God. If you were black and you drove into Beverly Hills, you were getting pulled over. You know, that's the kind of thing we're talking about. The driving while black stops. The driving while brown stops. The we don't like the look of your car or you shouldn't be here. But to do away with traffic stops, and he talks about using cameras instead. No, because it's been shown the cameras, first of all, more Big Brother. The cameras are wrong a lot of times. You had a lot of cases here in California. A judge threw out all these red light tickets because what they did was they shortened the yellow. See, they shortened the yellow when they put up the red light cameras. Why? To make more money. Because now when you thought you would be driving through a yellow, light turns red, so you get a ticket. Also, they can be less than accurate. And I remember in Phoenix, they clocked a Hyundai with a camera doing 140 miles an hour. The guy just went to court like, "Your Honor, my car can't go that fast." It's a little Hyundai. This particular car couldn't go that fast. So, again, it's not about doing away with traffic stops, in my opinion. It's just about using them for traffic stops, using them for obvious violations, and stop using them to racially profile people and stop using them to make money. On a side note, and it's a side note now, we don't care. Corona cases jumping through the roof. Every place is reopening. Numbers are going up. Texas, Florida, California, we're all reopening at different speeds, and the numbers are going up. The Rona ain't gone nowhere. The Rona is out there. Like I said, these mask people saying, "My right to not wear masks." People are literally coughing on people intentionally and stuff like that. And if you ask someone to wear a mask and they cough on you, shouldn't you be allowed to punch him in the mouth? Like, as long as you're going to have contact, make the contact count. That's what I'm saying. Just you, pow, that would be a good response. Just saying. But anyway, we don't care because we ain't staying home. America's lost its mind. The Rona's out there, but people are willing to take a chance. And I'll tell you what, the moment when I really saw how it's changed. There's a news report that, you know, if you have Spectrum, every time you turn on your TV, it comes up to the local Spectrum News. Funny how they did that. But anyway, they were talking about corona cases in Los Angeles County. And during the shutdown, they would give numbers of how many people got it and the testing and people fatalities, et cetera, et cetera. The last one I saw, they said, LA County is 98% corona-free. See how you switch that? Instead of 2% of people got it, and the number, which is, that's a big number, 2% the LA County population, is over 10 million people here. But instead, you just say, we're 98% corona-free. I don't think we care. I still wear a mask when I'm in a place where there's a number of people, even if it's outdoors. But I don't wear a mask all the time. If I'm, like, riding my bike on the bike path or something, I don't. I'm not in close proximity. I'm not breathing on someone. I believe it's a matter of being courteous and not breathing on people. I don't think it's going to protect us or anything. But again, I like listening to scientists rather than politicians. And I'm certainly going to not listen to a bunch of right-wing crazies. And it has been politicized. It's absolutely Republicans say no masks, Democrats say masks. So it is what it is. Finally, I want to talk about 846. 846 is a special that Dave Chappelle has released on Netflix. You have to see it. In my mind, Dave Chappelle is now the GOAT. For anyone who's been under a tree, GOAT stands for greatest of all time. As a comic who does social commentary, I've always loved Chappelle. And I've people would ask me, and I'm like, I always thought George Carlin was the greatest social commentator we ever had. If George Carlin was alive today, it'd be amazing to hear what he has to say. But watching Dave do this, Dave is now my GOAT. Dave has taken over. Dave called out, first of all, he wasn't afraid to not be funny. That's the first thing. Because this is real. And he's funny, and he can't help but be funny. But he wasn't afraid to not be funny. He called out people by name, Don Lemon, Candace Owens, called them out by name. I'm not going to give it away, but he gave his opinion. He talked about what we're doing, the protests and the violence, and he put it to the cops in terms of what they did in a situation. It was wow. And he used a reference that I haven't heard anyone else. Once again, I haven't heard anyone else use this reference, but the reference was perfect and brilliant. And Dave said something specific. And he said, this is what he said to Don Lemon. I'll give this away. He said, the streets are talking. And Dave, you are the voice. You are in touch with the streets. You feel it. And he put it into words in such a brilliant way. So please do yourself a favor. Also, some interesting coincidences with the numbers. I'm no numerology person, but there were some interesting coincidences with the numbers 846 and 824. Watch it. You know, watch it tonight. Watch it today. Watch it again. Dave Chappelle is the GOAT. Dave speaks. We gotta listen. Thank you for listening. This has been episode 279 with birds in the background. I hope you're safe. Be careful. These streets are talking and they're telling you shit's crazy out here. Still, between the Rona, the cops, and who knows what else might get you. Just be careful. I'm Alonzo Bowden. I'll be back. I'm coming back live. They pushed it another month. That's all right. I'm going to be back. Some comics are already doing. It's getting to where I'm going to be jealous of comics who are actually working. So I'm going to get back out there. Thank you for listening. Keep laughing. Limit your news intake. And go watch Dave Chappelle. Good night.